So I was still without a job, and then I got a call from KOIL Radio, which was the rock station. It was a Don Burden station. Those of you who know rock and roll radio.
Is this in Omaha?
Yes, and he introduced the rock and roll format in Omaha, which was ultimately copied for years and years later on. And I went and I worked for their FM station, and then I worked on the mornings then at KOIL. That gave me morning experience. Let me say that while I was at WOW, we hired a guy by the name of Jimmy O'Neill. And Jimmy O'Neill, when he was in his early 20s, did the ABC television program called Shindig. And he introduced the Beatles, and he introduced all these people. He was a very, very talented young man, and he was in Hollywood. How it was he got to Albuquerque, New Mexico, on the radio is unknown to me, but he came to Omaha, and he did our morning show. He ultimately went back as he got older, and he left Omaha, and he went back to L.A., and he did do Los Angeles radio. Well, Jimmy O'Neill, here's another case where people come into your lives and you're influenced by them. I was in the afternoon, and here this Jimmy O'Neill was on the phone, on the morning show, and he used the phone like I had never, ever heard the phone be used. He would talk to people. That was new to me. He would take polls. He would take a song and talk about it, and what do you think of it? What does the song mean? And all this. He used the telephone in many, many ways. So, my experience at KVOX, using the phone for buy, sell, and trade, I knew that was something I liked. Here, Jimmy O'Neill, who I became friends with, and we were buddies, we connect. I mean, he used the phone. I thought I'd never, ever do that. Well, then I took that when I went to KOL across the street because I'd been fired. I got on the morning show. To be known as a morning man was a big deal in radio, because then that could probably give you another morning show if you had morning show experience. And I did all the things that Jimmy did in the mornings. Well, ultimately, Jimmy lost his job at WOW, and he came to KOIL, and he worked in the afternoons.
Mm-hmm.
Point is, he was key in my professional life. So I'm there at KOIL, and then one day the radio station goes dark.
Just before you get into that, let me clear up this business about using the telephone,
mm-hmm.
because that's still being done, of course, mm-hmm. To a great degree. And all of these people, particularly the larger markets and the syndicated and so forth, this is a very highly produced kind of operation. They have screeners. You're sitting there as the host or whatever you call yourself, and you've got a computer screen that says that Janet's on line one and wants to talk about this, and Harry's on line two and wants to talk about this, and this person on line four is crazy, you know, and then it's your choice about which one you go to. Did you have that kind of assistance, or was this all fly-by-wire?
No, we were flying by the seat of our pants. You're way too sophisticated at that point for radio, for telephone use.
Because this was the beginning of that.
Right. No. We'd just go to the phone coldly. I didn't know who was there. You start talking to them, you know. Hello, good morning, you're on the air. What are you talking about? Well, and then you'd get regulars who would call, and they became characters, and so there many of them were funny, or they were wild, or they were mad, or whatever, you know. And so you begin to deliver a cast of characters by using the phone. I remember
you created
using
a little community,
and using KOIL in the morning. There, this one lady, Jaws was just big then, and she had seen Jaws for like 78 times. And so she became a character, or somebody you would talk to, you know. So, so the phone became one of my best tools, and then to generate phone calls and polls. So then my radio station.
And you could poke at people, too, when you did that.
Yeah.
If you wanted to.
Yeah, but and then those days I was not controversial. In those days I was just having fun on the radio.
Really nice guy kind of thing.
Probably. Yeah, just right. So the radio station goes dark. Now, what does that mean?
What do you mean goes dark?
That's when a radio station's license is taken away from the owner by the FCC and it no longer broadcasts.
That doesn't happen that often.
That's right. Fortunately, it doesn't.
What did they do?
The owner of the radio station, Don Burden, had tried to influence a U.S. senator from Nebraska, Senator maybe Zirinsky was his name, and because it was some broadcast legislation that Don Burden wanted to see passed. And so one specific item was that he placed a brand new Cadillac in the driveway of the senator and left the keys in it, and the FCC frowns on those kind of things.
Oh, that's amazing.
And so that license was taken away from him, and I'll never forget listening at midnight to silence. That radio station was gone.
Did it sign off?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
It was traumatic. It was gone. It was silence. This rock and roll legend in Omaha, Nebraska.
Big station.
Had been big for years, and rock and roll, and yes, it was gone. So what is John going to do then? And by the way, my name change from Lowell Fretty at KFNW came about when I went to KVOX in Moorhead. That's when I began to use John Erling as my radio name.
Why?
Because even you will understand there is a better, should I say, a commercial spin to John Erling than Lowell Fretty. Erling in the morning sounds a whole lot better than Fretty
in
the morning.
Fretty in the afternoon.
And I had no idea about Erling in the morning when I did that. I mean, that just all fall into place. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I became John Erling back then. My program director there was Sam Holman. Sam Holman had been an ABC New York broadcaster for years, and he had come to Omaha because of his friendship with Don Burden. And he said, John, I think I may have a job for you down in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He says, I know Gary Swanson and the Swanson Broadcasting people. He said, they're looking for a morning man. And these are the people you ought to contact. So he put me on to that job. I'll never forget, I met Ronald Reagan with Sam Holman. Sam said to me one day, he says, Ronald Reagan's in town. You want to go see him? And I said, sure. So we went to see Ronald Reagan. I'll never forget. He was running for office at that time, and he was under a tent. I can still see him. I was surprised he was shorter than I am. That's what blew my mind. I couldn't believe. You're shorter than I am? And I never thought of myself as tall. I'm 6'1". So he was probably 5'10", something like that. Mm-hmm. And, of course, very gracious. I also have a remembrance when I was in Minneapolis at KTIS, a meeting of Billy Graham. Billy Graham was associated with Northwestern College Radio, and they tried to make an executive out of him, and it didn't work because he was a preacher, but they took advantage of his name. He liked Northwestern College, and he became the president of it and at one time. So then one time he was holding a crusade in Minneapolis, and then of course there was a news conference, and Paul Ramseer, who was my boss at KTIS, said, Billy Graham is going to have this news conference. You want to come along with me? I said, sure. So we went to it, and all the WCCO-TV and KSTP and all these guys were in there with their cameras and their microphones are setting up, and here Paul comes along and he sets up this little microphone. It said KTIS on it, and Billy Graham comes in and he sits down and he looks around at all these places and he puts his hand on KTIS, the microphone. He says, this is my radio station. And of course we felt so proud.
Sure.
And then he came around and shook hands with us, and I'm still looking at those beautiful blue eyes of his, and of course a handsome, good-looking guy. Anyway, that's an aside, but it was fun to have those memories.